Coaches, Adam here. We're excited to announce that we have partnered with our friends over at Glacier and Huddle to bring you a special event at the early part of 2024 called our Leadership Summit. Now, what exactly is a Leadership Summit and how does it all work? Let me explain. We've selected, together with Glacier, 10 cities that we will be visiting in the early part of 2024 during the months of January, February, and March, hosting three-hour leadership summits available and open to all coaches of all sports. All you have to do is visit glacierclinics.com and RSVP, just simply so we know you're coming. Find the city that works best for you. Tell all your fellow coaches, tell all those in the school, and make a plan to be out at one of the 10 cities. These leadership summits are going to be transformational. We will spend 3 hours unpacking and unleashing a framework that you can use to elevate your players into the leaders needed to win, and unleashing the secret to creating that transformational culture that we all want. Some new content mixed in with some core foundational teachings of Lead 'Em Up. It's going to be a morning that will change everything for you in 2024. Check out glacierclinics.com. View the list of the 10 cities. Find the one that works best for you. Tell your friends, and we will see you there. Let's go. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Thank you for hanging with us. I am Adam alongside Kyle. And today, Kyle, we are going deep into a topic that frankly has been the focal point of many of my recent sessions here with my teams as we kind of go towards the end of the winter season, winter primarily for me, and just across the country, basketball season, right? We're in basketball season. And, you know, I've got a series of teams on my lineup and roster this winter. And we're heading down the final stretch, getting ready for the playoffs. And we need to ask ourselves the question, and it's what we've been discussing in the sessions that I've been hosting. Are you working on the right thing? Are you working on the right thing? Now, let me tee this up for us, Kyle. I was at one of my team's games the other day, and it was heated. Oh, man, it was good. Two top-notch teams towards the top of the division, both with great records. And it was competitive. It was back and forth all game. And they were good, and we were good, and they were making shots, and we were making shots, and they were making plays, and we were making plays. It was a really good high school basketball game. Great energy in the crowd. I mean, I'm sitting there with my Yeti in the stands, right, like banging it on the bleachers for defense, defense. I mean, it, like all of that, right?
Yeah.
Side note, bleachers are actually very sturdy. I was sitting there the whole time. I'm like next to the student section, and they're all just like stomping, and I'm banging my Yeti, you know? And this is like, I'm just like, man, and this was at an older high school. I'm sitting there thinking these bleachers have been probably here for like 20 years. 25 years, and they've been having kids stomp on these things for like 25 years, and they're still holding strong. Anyways, completely unrelated. Yeah,
shout out to the bleacher manufacturer, whoever that is.
Shout out. I mean, that yeah, that's it's impressive. All right. So we get to a play towards the end of the fourth quarter, and we are up one. In Maryland, there's a 30-second shot clock, and we are up one, and we are on defense, and the opponents have the ball. And one of our players gets a steal. He probably gets it around the 25-second mark, okay? He gets the steal. And as he gets the steal, he then takes it down, tries to lay it up. But at this point, you know, the other team, they're getting back on defense.
Right.
But the layup was not an uncontested layup. It was a layup essentially over two defenders that were meeting this player at the rim, to which the defenders end up kind of getting a partial block, which then goes off the fingertips of our player out of bounds. The opponents get the ball back. At this point, it's with 16 seconds. Yeah. Now, let me just say, you know, look at the details of the game. We're up one. There's about 25 seconds left. They've got the ball. We get a steal. Shot clock's off.
Right.
We're up one. We're in the driver's seat. Now, if that layup is completely uncontested, I mean, if it is literally just you and the basket, by all means, go.
Right.
But when there's like a crowd there and it's like a challenging shot, everyone that knows the game of basketball knows, pull it back. Let's kill some time. Let's maybe pass it around and see if we can kill as much time as possible, as they probably are going to get into foul mode, right, to try to foul us, to put us on the line. Everyone that, you know, knows the game of basketball knows that's what you're going to do. In fact, this player specifically, he knew that too. Because the moment he goes up for the layup, that it then gets blocked, goes off his fingers, goes out of bounds, he immediately, Kyle, looks at coach, taps his chest. He does one of those, right? Ownership. Yep. He taps his chest and he mouths, I should have pulled it back.
Yep.
And at that point, you know, coach is just, he's animated, he's emotional. And, you know, but you sit there and you wonder, if he knew better, why did he not do better?
Right.
If he knew better, why did he not do better? And there's a tendency in that moment as a basketball coach to get into basketball teaching, to begin once again reminding a player about time of possession, you know, to remind them about lead and how much time is remaining and, you know, all of the details of the game. There's a tendency there. It makes sense. Remember, man, if we are up one and we're, you know, the shot clock's 30 seconds, the clock's going to go off. You need to pull that back. They're going to be, you know, they're in the foul, the penalty. So it's going to be two free throws. All these, there's a tendency to remind the player and teach the sport, teach the game. But I would challenge. He already looked at you. And he said, I know.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I know. I should have pulled it back. So as we open up this conversation about, are you teaching the right thing? It was a great reminder that in that moment, it was not a basketball IQ issue. It was not a understanding of the game issue. It did not need a basketball teaching solution. That issue was a emotional management issue. It was a self-management issue. You know, we teach Kyle and lead him up the mixing board. Two sides of the mixing. Oh, yeah. Every player has one in their head. Right on one side, it's bass. On the other side, it's treble. Bass, energy, passion, adrenaline, all that. Treble, clarity, sharpness, focus. The cerebral side of the game. Just like music, you turn your bass up too high, it drowns out the clarity. Same holds true here. When the bass gets too high, it drowns out the clarity. A steal with 25 seconds, up one, the adrenaline spikes. The emotion spikes. The crowd's going crazy. He essentially had no more treble. There was no more clarity. He in many cases, his emotions overtook his clarity. He began operating on his adrenaline and his emotions and all of that. And the fact that he was unable to manage his emotion, that was the issue. And it opens up this conversation, coaches. Are you working on the right thing? Are you teaching and working to improve the right thing? Because many coaches would go basketball teaching when, in fact, basketball IQ was not the issue.
I think that's where the real frustration comes in for coaches. And that's why it's such a great question to kind of lead this conversation with. Is one of the most frustrating things for us as coaches is when something like that happens and an athlete looks over and says, my bad, or taps the chest, like you're saying. And in that moment, like you said, it's not necessarily the knowledge of the game, but it's the ability to think clearly in those moments and execute what's going on. And when the athlete's, you know, tapping the chest and saying, my bad, what they're first and foremost trying to do is really not shoulder any of the blame. They're trying to, that's one of the things that I used to, one of my first experiences in coaching was with a guy by the name of Terry Hollander, who was a legend in the St. Louis area. And Terry would run his own coaching clinics, and he would talk about how players running down the court saying my bad or tapping their chest like that would drive them nuts. And here's the thing, like what you alluded to is back then there wasn't really anything out there that could specifically help with the emotional management of it for players. There wasn't a language in place. There wasn't like a tool in place. So we knew what we wanted the athletes to do, and it was frustrating when they didn't do it, but there wasn't anything in place that was really there to able help the athletes manage that. Because in that moment, like you said, is the crowd's loud, there's a steal, the gym gets a little bit charged up, and in that moment, you're not able to like sit there and go through the processes of what you need to do. You see a lane to the basket. Maybe you don't see anything out of the peripheral and you're just thinking score, put the game away. And then
you're thinking hero, I'm going to be the hero.
All of that. And I think that's why this is so important to talk about, is because there is something now, like we do know, and there's such a movement now with, mental toughness and peak performance, and especially what we're doing is giving a tool like the mixing board to where the athletes in those moments, you can say in your huddle before you go out there, and I'm sure there was a timeout at some point in that last 2 minutes of the game or breaking the action to where we could have said, hey, let's make sure our trouble's right. We've got a lead. Right. We've got a lead. We've got a 1 point lead. What do we need to do? We've repped this before. We've drilled this offensively, defensively, situational basketball. Right. Let's make sure our treble is where it needs to be. So that's like the powerful thing that we can really do is like, you know, are we working on the right thing? Okay. We've drilled it 100 times, but we're dealing with kids and we've got to work on the emotional management.
So in light of a couple of these games recently with a few of my teams, we have scheduled almost mandatory, like urgency, ASAP, lead them up sessions to work on this. So one thing I love with the relationships with my coaches are, you know, a lot of times, because I don't get to games a lot, because I'm training a lot at night and traveling. So my nights, if I'm not actually doing lead them up or not on the road, I want to be home, right? Understandable. So I don't go to a lot of games, unfortunately. But when I do, the coaches, like, you know, I appreciate our relationship. They tend to ask, like, hey, what do you see? Like, hey, what do you see from your perspective as you were just watching throughout the night? And yeah. And these last couple of games, I've gone right here. I'm just like, coach, man, our players know better. They just can't do better. And they can't do better because they can't manage themselves emotionally. And we need to have sessions ASAP to start addressing this and like not just addressing it, but going really deep. And I'd love to do it sooner than later in light of some of the games that I've watched, because I can now speak directly to examples that I witnessed firsthand. And, you know, it's interesting because I'll sit there in these sessions and I will ask the player, like that same situation I've alluded to already. I'll ask the player in front of everyone. I'll say, hey, so why'd you do it? I say, like, and I say, you know, why'd you do it? Because the moment you did it, you looked right over a coach, said, I know I shouldn't have done that. Like, why'd you do it then? And I'll stay silent for a moment. And they'll answer. And I remember just the most recent session. I mean, I went through 4 or 5 different scenarios that I documented where I could tell that it was not a basketball IQ situation. It was a pure emotional situation. Another guy, not the guy we want shooting. We all know that rebounder, energy, physical toughness, that is his strength. It is not shooting. Okay. He knows that. We know that. I tell you what, it is certainly not turn around, fade away, no look jumper with a contested blocker in front of you. I can tell you for a fact that that is not his game. Okay. But he does that at one point. Kyle, as if like, you know, like when you're playing NBA 2K, and if you like back in the day you used to play where like, I know I used to do this with like Double Dribble. Remember that old game, Double Dribble?
Oh yeah. That was awesome.
Nintendo. Yeah. I used to play that, and like I would do this where I'd make the guy walk away from the basket and then hit shot just to see how crazy of a shot it would, because he'd have to spin in the air because he'd be facing the other way.
Yeah,
that's what this player did. Back to the basket, no looks, turn around, almost like an NBA 2K shot where you hit shot accidentally, even though he's facing the other direction. It was ugly. It was ugly. Coach was like, hands up. That's not the shot. No, that's not what we want. Soon as the player shoots it and it gets, I mean, it's just off.
Yeah.
He looks over coach like, I know. So I'm asking these players like, hey, why'd you do that? Hey, in the second quarter, when you did this, like, why'd you do that? Hey, wait, why'd you do that? You want to know the responses? Do you want to know the exact, what do you think the responses were? There were two that were kind of like just lingered amongst all of them. There were two kind of responses. What do you think?
Man, they get a lot of different ones, but probably, you know, one that jumps out that they would probably say is like, I just forgot. I just wasn't thinking in the moment. It just slipped my mind. And
kind of. So here was the first one. I don't know. Like, because they're kind of embarrassed when you ask them, right? They're just kind of like, I don't know, coach. I just kind of got caught up.
Yeah.
I just kind of got caught up. Here's the other one. I don't know, coach. It's tough. Like, in the heat of the moment, you know, there's a lot going on. Adrenaline. You just kind of do things you really shouldn't do.
Yeah, just got out of my head for a minute.
I got caught up. And, you know, just sometimes in the heat of the moment, you just find yourself doing things. They're giving you the answers to the tests. It's emotional management. It is managing the mental management of one's emotion so they aren't getting caught up, so they aren't being overtaken by the heat of the moment, but that they rather can stay steady and clear mentally through it. So we sit there and we begin to unpack. I mean, this is ability to lead one's emotion, which is going to represent the personal competence levels within emotional intelligence to be able to lead oneself where, and it's two dynamics. It's self-awareness combined with self-management. It's self-awareness combined with self-management. And with our teams, we're going deep back into the mixing board and we're building it through the lens of, once again, self-awareness, self-management. And the first responsibility, first task is the players need to do deep, deep, regular, consistent examination of their emotional state during games. If it adds value, which I believe it could, to number that, go for it. They need to be able to identify their current emotional state throughout the entire game. Heat of the moment, adrenaline, pumping, lack of clarity, your emotions probably at an 8, 9, or a 10. And you need to be aware of that as players, because they need to then know, like, all right, I'm at an elevated level of emotion. I need to be aware of that because I can't manage to that which I'm not aware of. So we begin this conversation about each person doing deep evaluations throughout the game. And you create little moments for this. You create moments where they evaluate. So you say, like, all right, every dead ball, evaluate. Every free throw, evaluate. Every timeout, evaluate. Every break in the action, evaluate. And evaluate your current level of emotion. Emotions are great, but they are a gift and a curse. They are a gift when managed well, curse when managed poorly. So the emotions, the irony in it is that your emotions will get you on the court, get you on the field, but it may also be the thing that gets you off the court. So you better be in control of your emotions. You know, we say you know, you want to play with emotions without becoming emotional. You'll hear that phrase a lot of times in coaching. Well, what's the difference? Emotions is when your emotions are identified, controlled, and channeled. Emotional is when the emotions are controlling and channeling you. It's all a matter of control. Who's in control here, right? But you can't control the emotions that you are not aware of. So deep discussions with our players recently, Kyle, about needing to become extremely aware. And here's what is so important when you begin to challenge them on why'd you do that? Why'd you do that? So why'd you do that? How about that? We lost by two. Those four examples that I just called out in the session, if we take advantage of two of those four possessions, and we lost by two, and we take advantage of those two out of those four, we could win. That our emotion management could have been the difference. Every possession counted. Every possession was so important. We gave up four because we just got caught up in the heat of the moment. What is happening when you really identify and you kind of challenge that? Players need to understand the pain and the consequence of not managing their emotions well. They need to understand it through that lens, because once they understand that if I don't get this right, it's going to continue producing challenges for me, they won't give the intention to work on it. But the moment they truly recognize, man, I need to get this under control. Coach just showed me four instances last game that I made mistakes, not because of basketball IQ, not because of skill level, but because of my inability to manage my emotions well. Holy smokes, I need to get this right. When they recognize and feel the pain of it not being right, that will increase the intentions of them working to get it right. And it starts with self-awareness, heavy, heavy self-awareness.
And off of that, you know, with the self-awareness and then managing the self is also the opportunity to help teammates out. So that's the great thing about kind of having something like this in place. And the language is you're aware of yourself. Now you're starting to manage yourself, but it's also something to where, again, it needs to be a team-wide approach and a team-wide priority. And for us, when as coaches, when we can call attention to this, having a program, having a plan in place that allows for the athletes to start checking themselves and checking their teammates, holding themselves accountable, holding their teammates accountable, that has to be a priority again, because we need to move from the coach-led to the player-led. And that doesn't just happen in a silo. It doesn't just happen in a one-off film session or a once-a-week conversation. That has to be embedded in the culture. It has to be embedded in the program. And that's where you're really going to see the big gains, is when there's a consistent approach and focus on it and not just something to where it's a one-off type of conversation or a deal. So for us as coaches, we have so much on our plate. We can't do it alone. We can't just have one conversation about it and then say, well, we talked about it. It has to be a continual focus of who we are and what we do. It has to be like going back to the question, are we constantly working on the right thing? Because if we know that sports are 80% mental, how much time are we given to the mental? How much time are we given to that when we know that that's the separator when all things else are equal?
Hey, this is Ashley from Chick-fil-A, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. Today, we're talking all about mindset. How do we possibly find the time to stay positive and keep an optimistic outlook when faced with so much uncertainty around us? I'll share a few tips and tricks to help you. One, remove the expectation that you have to be perfect. You don't. You have to work towards letting go of the idea that things have to be a certain way. Two, remind yourself of the glorious gift of grace. Spending time and working towards centering your thoughts will be extremely helpful in reminding yourself of God's promises. 3, extend gratitude. If you constantly focus on what you lack in life, it's hard to see the beauty of what you actually do have. What you focus on increases. It's true. And 4, get help where you can. Make an active choice to rely on a helping hand from others. Positivity in your mindset is a daily choice you get to make. Choosing to see the glass as half full is all about mindset. It's simply a way of thinking. Now, let's jump back into the episode.
So one of the things that is helpful in the self-awareness dynamic is to actually give players cues to pay attention to within their own self-awareness. So I tell the players, we want to examine, like as we are doing deep examinations, here's a couple indicators. Pay very close attention to your breathing levels. You know, are you worked up? Are you kind of like breathing with like almost like an angry breather?
Yeah.
Right. Pay attention
to your breathing.
But not just huffing and puffing from exhaustion or fatigue. It's like huffing and puffing because I'm hot, right? Like I'm the big bad wolf going to blow the house down, right?
Right.
You know, pay attention to your breathing levels. I joke with players all the time. Do you drink your water on the bench angry? You know, where you're just drinking it like very aggressively because you're just like kind of hot, right? From you come off the court, come off the field, and you're just like, I've watched players, they're aggressive Gatorade drinkers. All right.
So aggressive.
Sign of an emotional spike there, maybe at the higher level of your emotional spectrum. Are you finding yourself being overly animated in game to mistakes teammates are making, to mistakes you're making, to frustrations in the game? Are you finding yourself overly animated? Could be a spike in your emotional state, right? Are you excessively ref blaming? Are you engaging in too much heavy, kind of animated discussions with referees? Are there one-on-one battles with the opponents that are starting to kind of increase, causing you to chirp a little bit that could elevate your emotional state? Once again, emotions are great. Not managed well, they become a curse. So we're not trying to diminish the emotions, but we need them to be identified, controlled, and channeled, right? In such a way that allows them to stay sharp in the midst of their emotions. A variety of different self-awareness techniques, right? Obviously, there are even louder ones, kicking of a chair on the bench, throwing of a towel, tossing aggressively of a water bottle. These are emotional states. If you see it, be aware. Don't just kind of just fly through it. Be aware that that is probably getting you to a slightly higher emotional state that you then need to dial down. One of the powerful things about the mixing board language for the team, our teams, and I haven't actually put this and added it to the curriculum teacher or anything, but like we actually use the dial knob gesture as a communication tool. It's really cool where, you know, we will say, not even, you know, we talk about how we've intentionally built the curriculum to allow simplified language to help our young leaders lead greater without having to get in, you know, major detail. They can just say, you're being red, you're being green. Hey, a little more salt, you know, all these different terms. Even easier is when it's a gesture. So literally a turning of the knob down, they'll be on the bench. During a timeout, they'll look at a teammate, and we've talked about this. You see a teammate hot. You sense their emotional state is elevated. Give them a quick turn down gesture. You can't see my hands here, but I'm just simply turning down a knob. Turning down a knob. Or if we feel flat, turn it up. And everyone knows what it is. It's the levels on the mixing board. You got to turn it up, turn it down, turn the dials up, turn the dials down. And it becomes incredibly impactful. So the first practice. The first practice, Kyle, self-awareness. Our players had to become extremely self-aware. They won't, as I mentioned earlier, be self-aware with the level of intention they need to until they recognize the pain that it's causing. And when and the other thing is, when we're talking about, are you teaching the right thing? They won't get to the level of intention to manage their emotions well if you begin teaching the basketball side of it as the reason why I wasn't right. That's the other powerful thing.
Yeah, they won't connect it.
They won't connect it. They'll once again, you know, I just got to get smarter as a basketball player. I just need to know situational awareness, smarter as a basketball player, right? I just need to know shot selection, smarter as a basketball player. They'll just think I just need to become a smarter basketball player. They won't connect the emotions side of it. That no, you just got your mindset got hijacked. Okay. So the second though is self-management. Self-awareness without self-management is a relatively futile exercise. What's the point? Right? What's the point? Who cares? Who cares that you know you're elevated emotionally? Who cares if you know you're heated right now if you can't do anything about it?
Yeah.
Or you're not interested in doing anything about it, or you can't manage yourself. So self-awareness has to then be connected to the second level, and that's self-management. And this is the harder challenge, frankly. Right? How do you actually manage it? How do you manage the things you're aware of? How do you manage the emotions to which you're understanding and recognizing that trigger you and such? Man, tough question. Variety of techniques. I mentioned earlier about all dead ball moments. Those are great moments for self-management. Great moments. And in fact, you can habit stack, shout out James Clear. You can habit stack that in those dead ball moments, knowing those will habitually happen every game. Timeouts, free throws, dead balls, right. All, end of quarters, end of half, that will happen no matter what. That you habit stack, you say, in that habit throughout the game, I'm going to make an intentional effort every single time to manage my emotions. I'm going to engage in various breathing techniques, right? I'm going to distract emotions. That's another strategy right there. So breathing is one. Emotion distraction, for example, with one of my quarterbacks this year, he was a younger quarterback. The team had great potential. So he felt pressure to obviously perform at a high level because a lot was riding on this year because we had a great senior class, but he was only a junior, first year on varsity as a starting quarterback. He would tell me, "Coach, man, I need help. I get in my head a little bit pregame, right? My emotions start getting, you know, I get those butterflies and like, I just don't like it. I just don't think I'm at my best." Great strategy. Distract it. Distract it. What he's saying there is his treble gets dialed up so much, he begins to overthink, overanalyze. He's a very just kind of cerebral player that really analyzes everything. He gets in his head. Well, what do you do when you get in your head? Distract it with base. So I told him pregame, the moment you begin to feel that, and he'd always say, especially if we got the, lost the coin toss, the opponents would always defer and we would always take the ball first.
Right.
He said, always feel this like anxiety, like creep up at that because now it's no time. And like, we get the ball first. Distract it with your base, right? Go around in that moment and start celebrating guys, start getting in the face of guys, start hyping other guys, start saying, "You ready? Hey, go to your offensive line. Hey, you ready? Hey, one by one. Yo, you got this. You got this. You got this." Do that as a distraction tool to level set your emotions. Because if you stand there, you'll stay in your head. Right. And it's also why the self-awareness, this is a great example. Be aware that the anxiety is creeping in, but now distract it by running to the other side. In addition, be proactive with your emotional state. If you know you're an emotional player and you know you're when the game gets going, go in advance and prepare yourself for the trial you're not yet in. Yes, it's pregame. You're not in the trial yet. Things are relaxed. Things are casual. Train for that moment, i.e. JJ McCarthy, pregame, national championship, University of Michigan quarterback, takes his shoes off, sits down at the goalpost in the grass, crisscross applesauce style, right? Breathing, meditating, right? Getting himself prepared for the stressful moments of the game so he can be better equipped. Braden Holtby, many of you may not know that name, Washington Capitals goalie for many, many years, helped us win a Stanley Cup a few years back. He would do a 20-minute breathing meditation visualization run through of the game. He would sit there on the bench, eyes closed, and he would visualize everything. Not just plays, not just opponents, not just shots coming in at goal. He would actually also begin visualizing the spikes in emotions that he will experience throughout the game, preparing himself for those instances. So when they come, they're not at a surprise. He is prepared for this. He knew this was going to happen. He knew, going back to first example, he knew that he would probably get a steal with 25 seconds left on the clock, with the crowd going crazy, with what appeared to be an open basket, but he would already have trained himself to say, pull it back out. Pull it back out. Right. Self-management has to be now the teacher, because these are not sport issues. You've got to work on the right thing.
It's a constant process. And, you know, that's the thing that you see. I love the examples that you shared there, is thinking about it before it happens and kind of running through those situations. And for any coach, no matter what sport you're in, you know, as Adam said, there's these natural breaks in the game that are always going to occur. The end of the quarter, a timeout, halftime, things like that, where they're perfect moments to have our players check in with themselves. And then check in with each other. But the ones that are able to do it, it just doesn't happen by accident. It's something that they're constantly thinking about, they're constantly preparing about. And that's when you know that they're reaching that level of self-awareness that we want to see, is that they're able to plan for it. They know the emotional cues, they know the settings, they know, again, I love the example of, if you're feeling anxious in that moment, do the opposite. Go hype up other people to kind of balance the mixing board out there. Those are great examples, coaches, that we can share with our athletes that'll really, really give them practical things to help them in those situations.
You got to be working on the right thing, coaches. Got to be working on the right thing. Now, last thing I'll say, if that player, going back to that original example, steal, 25 seconds, layup, block, out of bounds, off the fingertips, goes the other way. If the player looks at you with his hands up, not hand on chest, I know, but hands up with a, what? What did I do wrong? Yeah. What did I do wrong? Basketball IQ teaching.
That's a another conversation.
He needs to understand the game better. He needs to understand the basketball, situational awareness, time, possession. He needs a basketball lesson. But if our players know, and they communicate they know, and that they knew in the moment the right thing to do, they just didn't do it, there's a good chance it's actually an issue where you need to manage the emotion. Coaches, make sure you're working on the right thing this week. Mm-hmm. Examine it correctly so you then can solve it appropriately. Kyle, appreciate you as always. On behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, coaches, have fun and lead 'em up.